Hello, all, and welcome to episode 99 of the Man to Man NBA show. Number 99, very close to a very good number. We'll talk more about that later. But before we get into all that, today's episode of Man to Man podcast is brought to you by the Patreon supporters. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's a monthly subscription service that we have signed up for, which is the best way for you to support the podcast directly. If you want to be a part of it, go check out our social media. Set the link in our bio. It's very, very cheap. We don't obviously want to run you off for any more than what you can give. So if you think you love the pod, you want to support us, please go check it out. Patreon supporters get early merch drops, behind the scenes looks, and so much more. Go ahead and check it out and just help the boys out so we can keep putting out this content for you guys. And that is our supporter for today. And with that out the way, we are back. It's been a 1 week hiatus for the NBA show, but we are back, very excited about it. Lots of NBA stuff to talk about. But before we get into that, let me introduce the men, the myths, the legends, Liam, Andy. First off, how are y'all doing today? And also, do y'all want to talk about the Titans, or do you just want to let bygones be bygones, pass in the past?
That's a sore subject right there. Yeah.
That's how we're opening up 99, huh? Nah, I'm feeling Jay Crowder-like, man. I'm feeling good. A little depressed. I don't know what happened. It's way too long of a Titans season to end by 3 points. All the great teams, you know, got beat by 3 points. I think it's rigged. The 4 second thing, it's rigged. The whole NFL is. Tannehill is not a Super Bowl quarterback, but and also, like, I mean, I had a great time, man. You know, went downtown Nashville. It was fun. Liam, I don't know when you were in Indy, dude. Yeah, come to Nashville, dog. But I was in Nashville downtown with the bus and with the boys. Shout out to those guys. And then next day I just woke up with a contact on my phone from, it said this chick's name. I'm not going to say her name, but date next week at Jeff Ruby's. I don't know what Jeff Ruby's is, bro. So I'm probably not going to look it up, but feeling a little depressed. Obviously Liam lost a lot of money and I'm not tailing that dude anymore. I'll tell you that, right? We can talk about that in a sec, but it's sore, man. It's sore subject. What's up, JP? Appreciate you rocking with us, man.
Yeah. Hey, always happy rocking with y'all. Happy to see y'all's faces again. I was thinking about you when I was watching the game. You know, I was like, damn, those boys probably sad. But I mean, hey, you lost to a good team. There's always next year. You still have Derrick Henry. I mean, things could be worse. You still have Ryan Tannehill. So things could absolutely be better. But, you know, hey, always next year.
Let's talk about how much money Liam lost real quick.
Yeah, true. Like, I'm just going to say five, more or less.
It was more than that, for sure.
About eight.
I think in total, it was right above that. But wow. It was not a good weekend, man. Betting-wise, mm-hmm. It was not a good weekend. You win some, you lose some, and that was a big loss. And you got to make up for it. I mean, I'm glad I got a whole year to do, make up some money. But, yeah, that one hurt.
I don't know about you. I'm looking at the time. It's 7 o'clock. I said, yes. Keep feeding the boy. You know, I started at like 11, dude. I don't drink like that. I said 7, 8. I mean, let's get Fader McGee out here, dude. You know, just lost. Let me get two vodka Red Bulls. You know what I'm saying?
I texted JP the next day. I was like, yeah, I don't know if I can record.
That's why we didn't do the episode. For everyone listening out there, we got way too faded. And it's not something to be proud of either. I'll say that right now. I don't like getting that, you know. I don't like getting that knowledgeable, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And sometimes after a tough loss, you just got to drink the sorrows away. I remember one of the first episodes I was ever on was when I came back from being in Charlotte watching Clemson lose to the eventual national champions, Georgia. And I felt the same way after that game. I spent about 4 hours in sadness drinking the sorrows away. But that's how it goes.
I don't know if I told you guys this, but I actually – at one point during the game, I was so McGee'd out that I drank a puddle of beer on a couch seat where someone's ass had been for like 10 minutes before. I was getting faded, dude, having a good time.
I don't know if you got to tell us that story. Because
Ed, you know anybody can listen
to
this podcast.
It was for good luck,
right?
Bro. I was and then I left, and then I lost my bomber jacket. I left my bomber jacket, my black one, with my champion beanie, bro. Because we ain't champions, man. Take that away from me. Typical Tennessee football. We got a good game tonight with the Tennessee Volunteers, though. The battle of the UTs. So, JP, you need to start riding with the boys, man, if you want to feel depressed.
Well, that's all I ever look for in this life is to feel depressed. So, I might just have to start riding the boys. But I got my own college basketball teams to be sad about. But right. Last NFL talk for the day. It's really a sad day in sports. One of the very few undisputed GOATs in their respective sports, Tom Brady, retired today. We won't talk too much about it because literally every media outlet for the entire weekend will talk about it. I just wanted to bring up to y'all, quick question. Do we think the only NBA comparison that could happen in recent or in the near future for this retire is LeBron? Maybe Steph. I think those are the only two guys right now where when they retire, it'll have the same impact. That could happen in the next, say, 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's – I'm trying to think, trying to go down the list of my names.
I mean, Jay Crowder, maybe. I don't know. LeBron. Conley, Mike Conley.
Come on, man.
Z-Bo.
Come on. Z-Bo is already retired, so just
– All right, well, I retract my statement.
I think Giannis possibly, if he keeps winning, could
Giannis
have
is like the most humble, coolest superstar I think there is. You see like, him- Giannis is the GOAT.
You see him after a presser game conference. He was over there eating some chicken wings.
Yeah, dude.
That shit was so funny.
But at least he's self-aware, though. And I believe – I mean, I was watching that last night. I thought they won the game, him coming out like that. But someone said in the comments, at least like Giannis, yeah, maybe – I mean, LeBron, definitely, for sure. Curry, for sure. Other than that, you guys know who I'd say. And it's Candace Freedom, dude.
I'll just throw Kevin Durant out there just so we don't end with Enes Freedom. But that yeah, I get it. It's there is nobody that is so close to like undisputed GOAT in basketball. There just isn't. But yeah, Tom Brady riding off into the sunset.
What about Melo? Maybe Melo? Carmelo Anthony?
He never won. Yeah. He never won though.
Nah. Yeah, but you know.
We're talking about the greatest of all time in football that ever played a position. You throwing out fucking Carmelo I mean, Anthony.
Johnny Manziel was up there. You know Johnny was up there, bro.
Maybe for like half a season.
Johnny Manziel was he was a better collegiate football player than Tom Brady was. That's a fact.
Everybody wanted Johnny Manziel to go back and play football. Like, was not even like that's not even an argument. Everyone wanted Johnny football to come back, whether he was doing coke or not. Say, so let him rip, dude. Let him rip. Get out of there. First down. Let's rock. Probably too much info, but you know that's what Johnny was doing, and I wanted to see Johnny back out on the field.
The fact that Johnny Manziel got brought up in the GOAT conversation, Andy, your mind is an enigma, man. I don't. Hey,
you asked me, that guy's pushing P. All right, I don't know. He's pushing P. So I got a couple up there for sure.
All right, let's go to the opening topic. Top four teams in the West currently: the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Utah Jazz. They seem to be separating themselves from the pack a little bit. The Jazz are falling off with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert both missing a little bit of time. So this answer may be a little easier than it was a couple weeks ago, but if you had to pick one team from these four to kind of fall down maybe into a 5-6-7 range, which team are you taking? I'll send it to Liam.
Well, off the rip, I would have to say, because you kind of mentioned it as well, the Jazz. I think the Jazz are that one of those teams that just kind of, for me, they're just not the team. Like, they have a good team, but they're never gotten over that hump. They're always make the playoffs, sometimes at a very high seed, you know, 1-2 in the last couple of years. And then we just know they're not going to win more than one or two series at most. So I would say the Jazz for the West, because I think the Suns and the Warriors and the Grizzlies right now are all playing at a high, high level. So that would be my answer.
I might have to second that. Just looking at this, lost to the Grizzlies, lost to the Suns, lost to the Warriors. Like, those are the past four games. Can't beat those guys. You're not going to beat top four. I would say the Grizz because they are the youngest team in the NBA right now. But looks like they kind of got it figured out without Ja Morant and with the Ja. And that's on Ja. I got to probably say the Jazz too, man. I don't think they're rocking as – man, I'm just they're walking L's in this thing right now. The only dub in the past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games was against the Pistons. And you know Cade was balling that game. So yeah, I probably gotta say the Jazz. Walking L's. They lost to the Pacers. But we, you know, don't bet against the Pacers now.
Don't bet against the Pacers. They're a scary team. No, they're not. But yeah, the Jazz have been struggling recently. And I think it's pretty – we've seen, I think, the worst stretch for the Warriors. I don't think they're going to have another bad stretch. The Suns may just keep winning games in forever. I mean, they don't look like they're slowing down at all. Devin Booker's playing the best basketball of his career right now. And the Grizzlies are a good team. They're really, really solid up and down. Taylor Jenkins proven himself to be a really good coach in this league. I think the Jazz, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they get overtaken by the Mavericks like within the next 2 weeks, even with Mitchell and Gobert coming out.
Wow.
Yeah, the Mavs are hot. Can't bet
it's Mike Conley, though. I did just say his name, I think, a couple minutes ago, unless I said in the prep. But yeah, Mike Conley, I mean, he's still there. I hate to see him go.
Mike Conley is still an NBA player. That is true.
Don't doubt Mike Conley, okay? That's all I'm saying. Mike Conley, you can't doubt the lefty that shoots a floater with the right. It's pretty. They might do some noise, but not top four, though. They're losing to these other teams. Definitely not top four. But who knows if they can handle the pressure? Who knows if the Grizzlies can handle the pressure in the playoffs at that high of a seed? Might get first round. Easy first round. Second round, they might see somebody like the Jazz. Who knows? Mike Conley, don't doubt him.
You're telling me in a playoff series,
I'm just saying
the two starting point guards, the two starting point guards are Ja Morant and Mike Conley. You're not doubting Mike Conley there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Yeah, you can't. I mean, you don't doubt either of the guys. But listen, I bet on Ja Morant at Sweet 16 and look what happened. All right, that's all I'm saying. Wasn't prepared for the moment. He wasn't ready. So we'll see if they're ready come due time. I'm done talking about, man. Jazz.
All right, yeah, that was a long time.
I just wanted to shout Mike Conley. That's all I did.
So. Shout out to Mike, man. Former Grizz.
Send me shout outs.
All right, shout out Mike Conley, I suppose. Now on the other side, things are a little. I was keeping us rocking. You were the one that wanted to bring up Mike Conley four times.
keep us rocking there, dog. You got to get me off my high horse, man.
All right, we're rocking. Top four teams in the East, a little bit more crowded space. Miami Heat at the top, very interesting team up top. Chicago Bulls, the Cleveland Cavaliers, most surprising team of the year, and then the Milwaukee Bucks in fourth with the Nets just a half game back. In fifth, it's a much more crowded space in the East. The Hornets are only like 8 games back from first place, and they're in eighth right now. It's an insane conference standings. I guess the same question, you know, who do we think of these teams, the Heat, Bulls, Cavs, Bucks, and we'll include the Nets because they're basically in fourth. Of these teams, who do we think is going to keep falling back, and who's going to move up? I'll send it to Liam again.
Cavs. Sorry, I had to take that one. Cavs for sure. But go ahead, Liam.
No. See that? That's where you're wrong, and that's the easy answer for you to say that. But I think the Cavs are a very good team.
They have not been there, dude. They are not ready. Kevin Love, ready.
I'm going to say the Bulls because again, they're new to this in terms of just putting their team together. I think the Bulls. I've said it before. I don't think we'll see them make it out of the first round of playoffs. I think the Cavs could be one of those teams that upset. Like a Heat or like a Nets team, if they happen to fall and play them in the first round. The Cavs are good, man. They are really good in terms of that. So I will say the Bulls just because we don't know. Like DeMar DeRozan is having a good year, but I don't know if he's that guy. Like I've said before, I just don't know if he can be that leader that team needs. I know Zach LaVine's playing out of his mind too, but I don't see him being that guy either, at least not right at this point in his career. So I'm gonna have to say the Bulls. I know you're gonna say the Cavaliers, but go ahead.
Young team like the Grizz, man. It's kind of where I'm coming from. Looking at the schedule here, they're 1-1 against each other, Bulls and Cavs. DeRozan has been there, right? DeRozan's been there before. LaVine's an all-star. He's a vet in the league. Lonzo's pretty much a vet in the league. They got guys. They're a good team. There's out injuries, little injuries like that is why they kind of falling back a little bit. I don't think are they first in the East though? They've been getting smacked around.
They're second in the East right now. They're a game and a half back from the Heat.
That kind of goes to show that they're still there. So I think the Bulls will maintain that top four because because every game that I've been seeing on national television, right, in the past couple of weeks, they've been getting smacked. I think there was a 2-game stretch where they got smacked by like a total of 70 points. With that, they're with injuries though. They've had injuries all season. Caruso is fucked. Caruso got rocked.
That was a fucked up play, man.
That was one reason I was a little sad we didn't have an episode last weekend because I wanted to hear you go off on Grayson Allen for taking out your boy.
Bro,
Caruso.
What was that, dude? Like, I can't
looking back at it though, it wasn't as bad as I thought initially it was. It was a hard foul, and you shouldn't be able to do that, but I thought he just totally just, you know, fucked them in the air. But he was, it was going towards the ball. It was a little excessive. But
I think, though, it's a little excessive on Caruso's part, too, though, because you, I feel like in the air, you can kind of gather yourself in the air. I ain't been up that high as Caruso in the air. But come on, you got to know what I'm talking about. You know where you're going to land and where you're going to fall at. And I get he probably fell at probably the most, I guess, I don't know. He fell at a good spot is what I'm saying. But it was, you can't really fall at a good spot right there. But I don't know, when you're in the air, you can kind of come down on your wrist. You probably don't want to come down on your wrist. And that's what he did, I think, along with his back or whatever. That was a fucked up foul, man. I still got to go with Cavs. I don't think the Cavs are ready, dude. I know Darius Garland. It's Darius Garland and all those guys are so comfortable right now because it's the regular season. They've been playing, what, 42 games or however many games we've been playing already, 50 games. They're not ready for the moment, dude. That's all I'm saying. Jared Allen hasn't been there.
Just watch him. That's all I'll say. Watch him be.
All right. Well, if it's the Bulls and the Cavs, then I got to go Bulls.
I'm just saying, if it happens and the Cavaliers – happened to make a surprise bump in the playoffs and went around out of round one, we're going to have to clip this. I'm going to send this to you a couple of times and being like, yep, I told you, motherfucker.
Beating just Brooklyn. Saying. They've beat Brooklyn. The Bulls have beat Brooklyn twice this year.
The Nets, the that doesn't matter. The Nets suck. The Lakers suck. What's another team they beat?
The Knicks.
They're not good neither.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, Boston. Lost two times to Philly.
I mean, Boston.
Beat Dallas, though. Beat Dallas, both LA teams. Yeah. I mean, this is the – we're kind of getting away from it. But, yeah, that was a messed up foul, man. I still think it's kind of on the player, though. But I do get, like, when you're going at that kind of speed and whatever not. But it's hard to come down.
Did he only get suspended for one game? Was that
– Yeah, it was one game.
See, I'm okay with that.
Grayson Allen is a bitch.
I mean, he's been getting better, too, though. I mean, he's been hooping. So, I ain't going to just shit all over him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but come on, dude.
Yeah. Grayson Allen just doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
That's another thing.
A little stuff at the beginning of his career. So, even if it wasn't that bad a foul, it was a hard foul, but you're still Grayson Allen. I mean,
he's a privileged kid for sure, dude. Yeah. He's, like, streaming on the side, like, trying to make more bank. He's not making any bank.
I saw his announcement or like his statement about what happened. He released it on his Discord. Like, I got to be the first NBA player ever to make an announcement on a Discord.
What did he say on the Discord?
He was just like, I didn't realize at the time, like, it was such a bad foul. And I was laughing because, like, people were mad that he was laughing. But, like, if you've ever been on a team, when you go back to these huddles, bro, like, people are making jokes all the time. Like, never once did I think, like, oh, he was laughing that he hurt Caruso. But he just announced, he's like, I wasn't laughing at that. One of my teammates made a joke, yada, yada, yada. So, it was over on Discord, though. That's crazy. I'd also like to correct myself real quick. The Hornets are actually in seventh and 4.5 games back. And the Sixers are tied with the Nets right now at 29-19. So we should be talking about them as possibly coming up, too. Because I think you all said Cavs and Bulls. I think these six teams, Heat through the Sixers right now, are going to be the top six seeds. So I don't think anybody's really going to fall. But look out for the Bucks to have a tough stretch coming up. They haven't really had a tough stretch this year, and they're going to go on some bad games. Eventually, you know, I think Giannis is still an incredible player, but look out for the Bucks maybe fall into that 5-6, which is honestly terrifying if you're looking to be a 3 or 4 seed. But yeah, I look out for the Bucks. But yeah, I do think these six teams are going to be the top. They're all really, really good. The East is crowded. East is crowded right now, much better in the West this year, which has not been the case in the past. But damn, we spent a lot of time on the opening topic. How are we feeling, boys? We still got legs for the rest of the pod here.
I'm ready, good, dude. I'm ready.
Just trying to get some Addy.
How many how would you take us to our trivia question there, big guy?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. My fault. Yeah. So this week's trivia question, we missed it last week and I cannot remember. I think the last trivia question that we had was, who was the most blocks in NBA history by a shooting guard? It was
Mike. It was MJ. There was a little discussion in TikTok comments, because for anybody that doesn't know, our trivia TikToks do very well. People, there are a lot of interaction. People seem to like them. So depending on what source you look at, some say Michael Jordan, but others some say Dwayne Wade because of the way they track positions. So I think they're both correct in their own rights, D Wade or Michael Jordan. But we decided as a group, we said Michael Jordan. Some other sources say D Wade. If you guessed either of those, you were correct.
Okay, cool. Well, great job. We'll post this one. Go check it out on Man to Man Podcast on TikTok. All right. So this week's trivia question: who invented the light bulb? No, I'm fucking with you. This week's
You know, a lot of people mix that up.
They're not even gonna get that one right, I guarantee. Like, who actually invented the light bulb? Do you guys know?
I mean, Thomas Edison is like credited with it, but there's like it's argued that it was like Nikola Tesla and all.
Oh, hey, JP, just don't overthink it, dog. It's Tommy. All right, here we go. Here we go, dude. All right, this week's trivia question. I guarantee a lot of people wouldn't get that answer right, that question right, though. Mm-hmm. This week's trivia question: how many players have scored 60 or more points on more than one occasion?
Oh, wow.
So
go take start it. I mean, I'm going to start throwing names out. I think that's the easiest way for me to do it is I think obviously Wilt has to be on number one. He's done it. Mm-hmm. I think five or six times. So that's one. Now I'm just going recently. I know Devin Booker. I don't think he's done it twice now, but I know he's had it. I think Clay was up there. I don't know if he scored 60, though.
Yeah. So Kobe, guaranteed.
Obviously, you're right. Yeah.
So Wilt, Kobe, MJ, I know he had 62, 63. I feel like he had to have had another time, but he may have done it in the postseason alone.
Right. So that's four. I got, or no, it's three.
Three. 60 points. I don't think Melo. I don't think KD. I don't think Bron. I don't think LeBron.
60. I don't even know. Yeah, I know he's had a couple 40-pointers. But I don't know. I mean, are we thinking Steph? Did Steph ever hit 60? I think he had one game.
I don't know. I don't remember him going over 60 twice. There's definitely somebody we're not thinking about, like an Alex English or somebody like that who was just like hooping, putting up like they put up like 61 twice. But
I'm also thinking like Damian Lillard too. I think didn't Dame have a 60-point game too?
He's had at least one. I remember. Yeah. I think he had a stretch where he almost had like two in a week, but I don't know if he actually eclipsed 60 twice.
I'll just throw out a guess of like around six players that score.
Yeah, I'm going to say five.
Because there's probably one we're not thinking of.
Yeah, whatever the numbers is, we can see if we can guess it too. But I think five. It's not many. I know that. I don't know. I'd be surprised.
Are you guys thinking for multiple games here, though? Or just at least one?
What do you mean? Like, the question is how many people have scored on more than one occasion. I'm saying six people have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going five.
You got an answer or you just said fucking didn't come with the answer? Mm-hmm. He's trying to look it up real quick.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up. It's six. Let me look at this one more time. I'm seeing it. I'm getting a bunch of different references here. Kobe Bryant six times. Michael Jordan five times. Elgin Baylor and James Harden four times. Mm. The answer is not six, by the way. Damian Lillard three times.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe. I said Kobe. Carmelo only had one. So that doesn't count. LeBron James only had one. Doesn't count. He had 61 in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson had one. Devin Booker had one.
So we're at five.
Had one. And then Wilt. So you got to put six, right?
So it was Kobe, Dame, Wilt.
Yeah.
Did Dame
Had three.
Elgin Baylor, James Harden. That's five. Yeah. And then MJ, six. Yeah, six.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Sorry, I just had to double check that real quick. Six. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I didn't think Carmelo, though.
Good luck, Griff, on trying to edit that one.
Yeah. Griff, shout out the man. Hey, I got a trivia question real quick. I have one loaded up for last week that I want to tell you. All right. So the way I set this up actually was I did it. It's just over under. I want y'all to give me what you think is the, I'm going to give you a number and then a question with it. I want y'all to tell me if you think it's over or under the amount I told you. That sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So it is becoming bulk cutting season for a lot of guys working out, a lot of guys and gals, I should say. So we're talking about the bench press at the NBA combine.
Yeah.
The bench press is 185 pounds, and it's most famous for like guys not being able to do it, but most guys can, and some guys can do a lot. So the bench press reps record at the NBA combine, over under 25 and a half of 185 pounds, which for anybody that does not know lifting is insanely high amount of reps for 185 pounds.
I have no idea. I know, remember KD couldn't do it, and I was like, yeah, this week.
That's what I was thinking too.
I don't remember. I don't know if there's any like big guys like that. Like Joel Embiid is not out there just pumping.
Are you saying a big guy that couldn't do it?
And what's the record over under 27 or 25?
25 and a half. So basically, yeah. Do you think the record is 25 or less or 26 or more?
Probably over. Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably over.
Somebody out there, like Big Baby Davis out there just pumping that shit.
Either him or Shaq. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So the answer is over. It is over. It's 27. Now tell me if y'all have ever heard of this guy. His name is Jason Keep. In 2003, did 27 reps of 185 at the NBA combine. It's by far the record. I shouldn't say by far. There's guys that did 26, but he's the only guy to ever do 27.
I got a question. Did he get drafted?
He played a little bit professionally. I don't know if he ever got drafted, though.
You got to get drafted after that one, dude.
I mean, he does hold the record. In recent memory, nobody's really came close. The only guy in, like, the top, like, record holders that had even a decent NBA career is Udonis Haslam. So, obviously, the bench press doesn't translate to NBA talent, but that was just something I found interesting. I wanted to let y'all know. So, that's all I got. Appreciate y'all letting me throw that one in there.
No, that was great, JP. It's better than me, dude. Appreciate it.
So, that takes us to game of the week. I'll start us up, and let me just say about my Kings Pistons bet. If anybody tailed me, I'm sorry they lost, and it was ugly. And for watching that game, my bad, Andy, that's on me.
I don't even bet any of these game of the weeks, guys. Just heads up, I did bet the Curry over 24, Liam. Mm-hmm. I bet your Kings, and yours was a spread. I just bet money line, and it was a 3-leg parlay, and they're up 10 with a minute and 30 left. And they lose the game. They just lose it.
It was atrocious. I mean, my only advice is don't bet on bad teams, which is a pretty much a consistent thread in my life. But I chose not to do that. And then I bet on a bad team that I lost. So I'm going back to my roots this week with a little same game parlay. I'm going Suns-Hawks on Thursday. Two very hot teams right now. Two teams that are very fun to watch. My same gamer I'm throwing together is going to be Devin Booker, 2+3s. Trae Young, over 22 points. Suns money line. Probably going to be around plus 100, plus 150, but I'm going back to my roots. And, same game parlay. I like it.
I'm rocking with you so hard on this, JP. So hard.
I like that, yeah. I stay away from, parlays, but
This is surgical right here, dude. You just – I might have to nuke this one, brother. This is surgical right here, dog. Damn. This one's good.
I'm cooking up. Hey,
can you say that one more time? Can you just say that one more time for my ears, man?
Devin Booker. 2+3-pointers.
Yeah.
Trae Young, over 22 and a half points. Phoenix Suns money line. Bam! Cook it.
You got to be careful, though. Like, Trae Young, when he gets going, man. You saw what he did against the Bucks a couple weeks ago.
The Suns are different. Suns are different. Suns money line.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I like it, though. It's dicey for sure. I like it. I'm actually going to kind of tell what you're doing, JP. And I'm going to bet on this is another Phoenix game later in the week on Thursday night against, it's Brooklyn at Phoenix and, 10 PM, 10 PM Eastern time. What is it? 6 PM Pacific. And,
it's 10 Eastern. It's 7 PM Pacific.
7 Pacific for all you guys out there in LA.
Yeah. Oh.
7, but it's tough, man. I don't know what the mountain time is, but I wish I knew. I'm not even going to bet.
It's 8.
Just keep adding some hours, buddy.
Is it 8?
Yeah, it goes so it's 1 hour across.
Oh, wait, no. See, you got me all kinds of messed up.
Don't focus on your game.
That's on me.
Nah, you're good, dude. You're beautiful, man. You're beautiful. Yeah, Brooklyn at Phoenix, Thursday night, TNT. Without Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, fuck it, dude. Harden, let's go Harden over 30 points here. Well, actually, I don't even have this. I'm gonna parlay this real quick. Suns money line. Harden's been cooking. No matter how pissed the guy is, He's cooking. He's going to continue to cook. He's also dishing the rock a little bit. I think the past three games, he has over 10 assists. Who is he giving that ball to? Young Patty. What's good? And Harden's going to keep doing what he does, man. They're going to keep losing and do what they do. But Harden over 30. Suns money line. Harden's, I think he's shooting like 40 a clip. 40% from the field. About 40% from three, actually. I think it's like 37 or something. But, yeah, look for Harden to score a lot of points because, you know, that's all James Harden does. Look for the refs to call some fouls on that boy.
And that's on Tuesday night, right, Andy? Tuesday?
I think it's on Tuesday.
I think it's Tuesday.
I'm tripping, dude. I'll see y'all later.
I'll go to my game of the week. I'm going to ride with the Grizzlies. I think they're playing extremely well. And then a team that's kind of been dropping off a little bit with the Knicks. Grizzlies are third in the West. I looked up at the standings while we were doing the prep. I was like, damn, I didn't know they jumped that high, you know. They're playing extremely well. So I'm going to take them, Grizzlies, just in the spread. I'm sure they'll be favored a little bit in this game, probably 2 or 3 points, maybe even more, just because how bad the Knicks are playing right now. But, yeah, I'll just take them in their spread and, you know, late a couple points because they're probably just going to the Garden and go crazy. So I'm going to take the Grizz in the spread for my game of the week.
All right. Let's see.
I'm going to ride with that one. Yeah. Shouldn't I ride with that one, JP? Liam, how much confidence do you got in this one, dude?
I'm pretty confident. I think the Grizzlies are playing really well, man. I think they've won like five or six in a row now, haven't they? So
I don't like spreads. Man, I really don't like betting spreads. I'll only bet spreads if they're like a team that I like in the plus margin, but yeah. We'll see.
Hey, you like betting the dogs?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess we're talking about that Tennessee game. Tennessee plus 3.5 favored, not even favored, but they're ranked. Yeah, I'll take it, but I might have to do the money line on that one. Hope.
Yeah, do what you gotta do. I'm just out here trying to give the options out here to the people. Let them listen to the options they have and what my insight might be.
These guys don't want to listen to me, so fade me hard. Whoever's listening to this episode is like, this kid is an idiot. So no wonder he loses a lot of money. I'm going to stop talking. Let's get to it.
All right, we're getting to it. Man to man worthy, the meat of the episode. And we're starting off with what was arguably the biggest story in the NBA this week and certainly took over Twitter and the NBA internet for all a night. Andrew Wiggins, Maple Jordan, getting wiggy with it, is an all-star starter this year at 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists stat line. Now, Andrew Wiggins is not a bad player. He's been really good for the Warriors. He's actually found a role for himself. Is it what you want out of a number one overall pick? Probably not. I'm sure the Timberwolves will tell you that and the Cavs because they traded him away immediately. But now with the Warriors, he's found a spot. But he's been good. He ain't been a top 10 player this year. I would argue he ain't been a top 50 player this year. Maybe. But he's an all-star starter. And the reason is because of the fan vote. Apparently, there was a K-pop fan group that pushed him to the top because they were the most powerful people on Twitter, apparently. And now he's going to be starting alongside his man, Steph, who was absolutely deserving of an all-star. So the question isn't inherently whether Andrew Wiggins should be an all-star. I think we'd all agree, probably not. The question here is more, does the fan vote need serious reworking? Should fans even have an input who's an all-star? Right now, if we as the fan base, because none of us have all-star votes, get 50% say in who becomes an all-star starter. And that's why we end up with Andrew Wiggins over a guy like a Devin Booker. Do we think this is even remotely in the right way? Do we think it's fun? Is it just, should we even care? Liam, what do you think?
I mean, just looking at it from the big picture, I think we have to have some type of fan interaction in terms of who's picking the all-star. So 50%, we were talking about it. I think, obviously, I think that you see little, you know, nuggets and, you know, asterisks against some of these players like an Andrew Wiggins where you say like, oh, he only got there because of the fan voting system. I don't know how much more you change it to. Is it 60-40 if you're going to change it? But I think from big picture looking in, I love that they give us kind of a voice on who we want. And yeah, I think as a fan, you want to see the people you like watching. So if you can get enough people, you know, to like that player, like an Andrew Wiggins, I guess is the only like, you know, example to use here. He was playing really well at the very beginning of the season when, you know, Klay Thompson was out and he was, you know, kind of the glue guy for them in that sense. But yeah, I think there is something a little bit wrong and we do have to, you know, tweak it here and there so we don't have this, you know, continually happen every year and year. I don't know the last time something like this had really happened, but if it continues to happen, and I don't think Andrew Wiggins is a starter, nobody does. I think that's just out of the question, but it is cool to see this, you know, that, hey, the fans kind of made this happen. But yeah, I think the All-Star is kind of just a joke in general. People take it too seriously, but at the same time, it is like accolades and it does go on your resume of like, you know, talking about being an All-Star every year. Everybody's trying to be an All-Star every year. So that's kind of my, I guess, initial thoughts on it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I do think it needs to be changed. I guess that's kind of where I stand.
I'm always with the fans. So I like it. Whatever it is, it is. You know, the fans kind of got Domantas Sabonis in there for two straight years. So, and it, I mean, I don't really care. But if we're going to talk about it, it's no, he shouldn't be a starter in the All-Star game. I'm going to be honest, this came out of nowhere for me. I mean, you know, I think other guys are very deserving, more than Andrew Wiggins. But I don't know if, you know, it goes by position too, right? So. Yeah, I just don't. I don't know. I like the fan vote. I like the fan voting of it. But sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes it kind of pisses other coaches and players, maybe players off in the NBA who are more deserving of that spot when fans are picking players like an Andrew Wiggins, but even players like, you know, LaMelo Ball or something like that. Not saying LaMelo Ball is not worthy of an All-Star, but you know what I'm saying. Just like picking guys that they should be. And who they want to see in the All-Star game, but realistically shouldn't be there. I don't know, man. Andrew Wiggins, sure, like give it to him. They've been balling. He's been balling all year.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, Andy. I feel that. At the end of the day, you know, if you want to see the guy in an All-Star game, you can vote him there. I mean, it's All-Star, not All-Stat. You know, that is a point. And like, you know, even they had Dirk. You know, the Dwayne Wade All-Stars, like the last few, did they play up to it? No, but they're still stars in the league. I'm not sure Wiggins falls into that category, but an alternate point of this is that a lot of these guys have incentives in their contracts when it comes to All-Star games. Should we as a fan base, even though again, it's only 50% and it's one specific thing, but still, should we have that much input into whether these guys breach these incentives? That is tough for me to say. It's tough for me to be like, I think because another guy's going to get snubbed. That's a fact. If Wiggins gets a spot, somebody else that was probably deserving of it isn't going to get it. And that guy could have had millions of dollars on the line whether he hits this All-Star game. It's tough. And granted, you can look at the other way and say, oh, but Wiggins got millions of dollars. Cool. But it's tough for me. I wouldn't have voted him. He wouldn't. Again, like I said, he's not even in my probably top 50, maybe a little stretch. Definitely like 40 players in the league this year. But hey, what are we going to do? Fan vote's not going anywhere. The NBA loves it. Gets great interaction every year. Yeah, I think it's maybe – I think next year probably moves down to just like a third fan vote, third player vote, third media vote. But – we'll see. Nothing we can really do about it. But something else we can't do anything about, but we love to talk about, is the trade deadline. It's coming up. We are reaching the point where there typically begins to make some moves, but we really haven't seen much yet. It's been quiet on the old hot stove. Nothing big yet. We've seen the Wizards want to make some moves. The Kings want to make some moves. The Sixers really want to make some moves, as they have all year, for the guy Ben Simmons. Even teams that usually aren't very active at the break, seems like the Spurs, they're starting to cook up a little bit. Well, things happened. Do we think this is showing that it's just going to be a quiet deadline? We're getting hyped up for nothing? Or is this the calm before the storm? I'm going to go to Andy.
Go to Liam first.
Go to Liam.
Obviously, I'll say this. Once February hits, I do this thing of turning on my notifications, my Twitter notifications. The Woj bombs are going to come in. You know, we're going to see movement. It happens every year. I don't know if there's going to be big moves like we see maybe in, you know, the past. I know the biggest news surrounding Ben Simmons, kind of the Kings kind of were the main team that was kind of pushing for Ben Simmons. They kind of backed away. I know obviously the 76ers are looking to move him. I don't know if he's going to be movable, before then, but yeah, to answer your question, shortly and precisely, I would say, yeah, I think we all know it's going to be those time of the year once February hits that moves are going to be making or be made. And it just is a matter of time. I don't know how loud it's going to be, but it is going to be moves are going to be made.
I don't think we'll see Simmons moved until the season's over with. Right. I mean, the Kings, right? They've been pushing it hard for the past 2 weeks, but then they just came out, right, and just said that they're asking too much for it. And I get it, but come on, man. Like, you just have to be realistic about what you want. And like you were saying, JP, earlier, I don't know if you were saying the episode, actually, maybe before the episode. Joel Embiid, MVP, I think we're going to get to that in here in a second. But they've been doing it, but without Ben Simmons. So it kind of says, like, what kind of player Ben Simmons is. And who he isn't when he's not on a team. So I think that's just kind of what I think about it. When we're talking about Ben Simmons, I don't see him playing for a team this year. I don't see him competing. I don't think it makes sense for him and his team that are managing him. And I don't know.
I think the
Woj bombs, I'm super excited for the Woj bombs, man. I think everyone's got the Woj bombs. My boys are sending me Woj bombs and that aren't even bombs. And I'm like, it's the calm before the storm. So definitely we'll definitely touch up on this again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think if any Ben Simmons talk comes up and there is a move, I still don't think Ben Simmons will play this year. I think if anything, he'll wait it out, kind of get back into NBA shape. If he goes to a contender, obviously that's different. But if he's going to a team like the Kings or, you know, even I don't want to say the Wizards because I know the Wizards are kind of playing better than expected, I would say. But even a team like the Wizards, I don't know if you will see him right away. It's more of like a build for the future if Ben Simmons is being moved, at least for me. So, yeah. You got anything else, JP, on that? I know you got some talk about that.
Yeah, I do got something. It's you guys kind of touched on it that I do think this is the calm before the storm because when teams get antsy at the deadline, they start dealing. They always do. But for me right now, it's struggling to see a path where any team that is like on borderline contention makes a miraculous trade to push themselves to the front. There was a big study done on it a couple seasons ago. I don't remember who did it, but I remember reading about it, where they basically showed that of the last like 15 NBA champions, none of them made moves at the deadline that resulted in players playing more than like 7 minutes a game in the playoffs or something like that. It just, these teams that are going to win the championships are already set. So with the how tight it is this year, especially in the East, do I think that could change? Yes. But at the end of the day, the deadline is, I think, just more fun than it is really impactful on these teams. So as much as it is fun to watch, I've always been kind of about the deadline. Like it doesn't really matter. It's teams getting rid of expiring contracts and guys getting moved around to all just end up losing to these top level teams again. So I'm not, as much as I love talking about the deadline, I don't think it's that big a deal, really. But something that has been a big deal about the deadline, which is going to end up not being anything, but will be into the offseason, is James Harden reportedly wants out of Brooklyn after the season. He's unhappy in Brooklyn. He doesn't – multiple reasons have been said for it, but at the end of the day, he just liked it better in Houston and other places. He's unhappy. And he has stated that he will be testing free agency this year no matter what. He's not going to re-sign with the Nets at the current moment. Not saying he won't in the future, but that's what he's talking about right now. While James Harden is still one of the best players in the league and Philly has apparently been very, very much in the play for him, do we think we're about to be robbed of ever seeing this Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden combination for an extended period of time? Do we think at the end of this year, because it's been seen that we're not seeing KD for the next few weeks, Kyrie's not going to be able to play full time no matter what, and James Harden wants out. Are we ever going to get to see this combination for longer than the 20 so games we've seen?
You already know my answer, dude.
I was going to say, we know what Andy thinks about. I know what you think about this. I think for me, it's just the whole idea, and I hate to bring this up like this, but when you talk about Kyrie Irving, he's kind of that guy that started this in terms of playing, not playing. No, there's injuries along the way, but this all started with Kyrie. Now he's not playing and because he can't play in Brooklyn and being vaccinated. And yeah, I don't think at the end of the day, James Harden is like, I'm on board with this. I would really like to play with KD, but all the other shenanigans with Kyrie, I don't really want to be a part of it. In my eyes, I think that's kind of where it started and where it stems from, because they kind of do the same thing. They need the ball in their hand. I don't know. I think we'll be I wouldn't use the word robbed. I would just be – the word is just non-interested in seeing these three play. And I'm – obviously, it would be – you know, it's a headline and it's great for, you know, boosting up ratings, watching all three of these guys try to win a championship together. But at this point, we're not seeing it. So, I mean, James Harden wants to win. I think that's the end of the day. Story, and KD obviously wants to win. Kyrie's just kind of out there doing his own thing. So Harden's like, let me go play with the real MVP over in Philly and Joel Embiid. So if he could be over there with him, I think that would be more of a better fit for him in terms of play style and stuff. But who knows? But yeah, I would use the word robbed very lightly. I don't think it's robbed, but go ahead, preach to him about this.
I really feel like I've been preaching about the same thing for the past 3 weeks, right? They're not. It's evident, man. But the thing about – I watched the presser with James Harden, and did you see what he said? He's just like they talked about it. They brought up the topic. He's like, oh, yeah, the report's coming out. He's saying, what reports? Like, obviously, and he was like, obviously, I'm frustrated, but there's not been any reports. If you're going to hear anything from me, it's going to be from me. But while we're talking about it, I'm frustrated. Yeah, sure. I like winning. I'm a competitor. Everyone else in the NBA is a competitor. It's obvious that this isn't working because Kyrie is too much of a drama queen and they need Kyrie to be the leader. So why? It's not going to work. Kevin Durant. He's going to come back from injury. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to go far in the playoffs. And then they're going to get beat in the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. Or they're just going to get rocked first round. If they lose first round, it's over with. This is a team like the Rams. It's over with. You're going to really get one shot at this. It's over with, bro. If they lose first round, it's over with. The whole team is exploding. James Harden is out. I don't know where he's going to go. He's out.
Andy, I love seeing you so fired up. And I know this topic gets you fired up, so that makes me happy. But, yeah, it's going to be really sad if this team with this much talent on it never
makes it. Look at Liam. I don't know why he's laughing. I'm looking at myself when I usually talk, but, yeah.
It's just funny to see you, like, you know, passionate about a topic, you know. Be happy out here, man.
Be happy. Speaking of KD and James Harden and MVPs, and Joel Embiid has been brought up. The MVP race right now is slowly turning into a little two-man race between Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. Giannis is up there as well, but pretty much every outlet is making it look like, and the people who are talking to the media who have these votes are saying that it's probably going to be one of these two guys. Joel has been playing out of his mind recently. One of the best stretches we've seen from a big man, from a player in general in a very long time, leading the Sixers team that has some talent but should not be competing with some of these top teams if they didn't have Joel Embiid. And then Nikola Jokic has been arguably the most efficient, most impactful player in league history this year by some advanced metrics. I mean, he's been insane on a team that really doesn't have a lot of talent besides him for the Nuggets. Do we think this has turned into a two-person race? Because I certainly do. And then who do we think is going to win? And I'll start us up this time. And I'll say that if I had to vote right now, because neither of these guys, the teams these guys are on, are blowing anybody out of the water, I would give my vote to Jokic. And I've been on the Joel Embiid train all year. But Jokic is – when you watch this Nuggets team without Jokic on the floor, and it's the same with Joel Embiid, but it is just a different level without Jokic on the floor for this Nuggets team. They are hopeless. They are so bad. And then you put Nikola Jokic on the floor, and they are like a top 10 offensive team. The guy, it is insane how well he's playing. So I'd give it to Nikola Jokic, but my number two vote would certainly be going to Big Joe. And hey, if Big Joe ends up coming out and winning this thing, I'll be very, very happy because he was my preseason prediction, and his stock tanked a little bit, but now it's going back up. So I'm happy to see these guys winning it, but I'll give my vote to the Joker right now. Liam, what are you thinking?
So this is where I'll start my conversation, because I think this is kind of will lay out the groundwork of how I look at MVP. The MVP, people have different definitions of what an MVP is. And in your sense, you take the Joker off the team. Like you said, they are the worst team probably in basketball right now if you take somebody. And he has the most impact. So that is the probably most valuable player for that team. But in today's NBA and today's talk about an MVP, for me, is not that. You have to look at a couple of different things. He might not be the best player in the NBA, but he is leading his team. The Nuggets, yeah, they're doing great, but we see Ben Simmons sitting out. We see Joel Embiid not eating hamburgers and cheeseburgers on the sideline. He's talking to reporters afterward like he's locked in. And I think for me, that's where he is impacting his team more in terms of leading his team to obviously make a playoff run. And I think we've also seen that he can do that and be in the Eastern Conference Finals and just be the superstar and the kind of the franchise guys of a team. Not saying that Joker not that and can't do that, but I think it's more, he's been more impactful so far this year in Joel Embiid. So I have to go with Joel Embiid. I know Ja Morant, I know I mentioned him. He has to be a little bit in my conversation too. Kind of told Andy this beforehand. If he keeps playing in the next couple of weeks following the All-Star break or leading up to the All-Star break, and then afterwards he continues to play like he is, he could possibly run it and be in, you know, that discussion. But as of right now, kind of there are only two people in my eyes. So I'll take Joel Embiid for me, but it's tight. It's a very tight race for sure.
Yeah, what's Steph? Now Clay's back. Now it's not Steph. Poor month last month. I said, JP, can he play well next month and get MVP? Now you got to play all year. But a lot of these players do have slumps though, right? Like Joel Embiid had a huge slump when the first of the season started, right? So I don't know. It's still a long season. We still have the second half of the season. So who knows? It's like somebody, you know, forgets about the Steph Curry thing that he just did for the past month and a half. And now it's on to a new player. Next month, which players are going to be? And then they're going to forget about that. And at the end of the season, is it going to be Curry when they take him on a run and then they go far? And you know what I'm saying? It's very up and down. And like you guys were saying, when I was getting so excited about plus 17, I could make 17 grand. I now get what you're saying. So I don't know, done better over here, but yeah, it's all just changing, right? It's all just a tire rotation. So it's going to be, I think Giannis could win it, you know, be the first player to win it three times out of 4 years in a 4 year span. I think Ja could win it. I also think Ja could win like most improved player of the year. Obviously all-star MVP is up there. I'd put Giannis up there, but I don't want to do that right now. But if I had to pick somebody, I'm still going to go with Steph Curry. I think what Steph Curry is gonna do at the end of the season, or at least the second half of the season into the end of the season, I think we're going to be like, damn, it's got to be Steph Curry, dude. Because these Joel Embiids, I get it. It's cool and all, but what Joel is doing right now for his team is amazing without Ben Simmons. Like, it's spectacular what he's doing. Jokic, we've seen it. It's not that entertaining. It's really not that exciting. I get it. I've seen what he does. What Steph Curry brings to the game is what no other player brings to the game ever in the NBA history. I just think that's second half of the season going into what they're going to do, make that run with Klay Thompson. It's going to, a lot of eyes going to be on Steph Curry. He's definitely going to be out there in top three.
Hey, I'm with him. Stick to your guns. And I like it. Yeah.
It's a fair argument, man. I was going to try to rebut that, but you did very well. I ain't got nothing to say on that.
I just think, you know, that's how it is. Like, yeah. You know, I didn't know what Joel Embiid, he was eating burgers. Now he's fucking balling, you know, 50 burgers. He's eating 50 burgers now. So I think people forget it. It's an everyday thing, what people are looking at.
Yeah, I'm with you. And your point about exciting players is well stated. I mean, there are certainly some voters who are going to look to the more dynamic player, which Jokic is a lot of things. He's not overly dynamic, but yeah, I'm with you. Hey, I get it. I hope Steph tears it up the second half of the season, but I still think Jokic going to probably win it over. So, and then our last man-to-man worthy topic is another award, Rookie of the Year race. One of the best in recent memory. And it's only heating up every week. I feel like it's somebody else at the top. But the man who's been pretty much consistently at at his best, number one, at the worst, probably number three, is Evan Mobley with the Cavs. He's been really, really good on a really good Cavs team. We talked about him a little bit last show, so we're going to talk too much about him. But the topic I want to bring to you guys real quick, and this one we can just do real quick, is Cade Cunningham has been balling for the Pistons. I mean, and every week he's getting more and more recognition. Guys are coming out and saying the man is a hooper because he is. Do we think if Cade Cunningham keeps putting up these kind of stat lines, like the other night he had like 32, 6, 4, and 4 or something like that. If he keeps putting up numbers like that, the lead between him and Mobley, no matter how good the Cavs are doing, has to be shrinking, right? Like it has.
See, that's my argument kind of with the MVP of your team, putting your team in a position to win. And Pistons aren't doing a goddamn thing out there. You know, they're the worst team. And yes, Mobley is doing really good things for a team that is doing really well, you know, turning heads. So that's kind of where there's more than just that guy for me. So I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's kind of what I'm saying, like about the MVP. It's not all about just the stats. You have to look at what he does for his team. If you know, are they winning? Are they losing? That's why Mobley's lead is it is how big it is now, because they're doing so well, you know? So yes, I've been a Cade backer me and Andy have gone back and forth about this, about is Cade good or is he bad or is he soft or whatever. He's a great player, but if your team's not winning, there's no reason. And another guy that is a rookie is a big part of reason why they are winning. He's going to win no matter what. That's just, there's more than just, you know, the numbers and how well he's playing. It's also, you have to take into account how his team is doing. Is he a good leader? Is he, you know, not selfish? There's other things that I think should, you know, be a part of, you know, winning an award like Rookie of the Year, like the MVP. So that's my I guess thoughts on it, again, with kind of with this MVP talk, Rookie of the Year talk type thing. So
exciting players again. It's going to win this award. Whoever the most exciting player is going to win this award. I'm looking at LaMelo Ball, Ja Morant, Luka Doncic. I mean, I don't think Cade Cunningham is too exciting. He's on an exciting team. I don't think he's very entertaining, although I like his game. He's just kind of like a slow guy to me. I don't know. Evan Mobley, I'm not too big of a fan on bigs, especially, I mean, there hasn't been a big that's won in the past 3 years, but yeah, got to be Mobley, man. It's just a front runner. It's like a, I don't know, what's it called? JV, like award for the NBA. So I got to take Mobley. He's too much in the league. So, and I'm also going to bet on him. I know I've been saying this, but it's got to be Mobley, man. He's just too big, man. I mean, his defensive impact has been insane. It's been like top 15, at least, defensive rating, whatever, defensive rating or whatever it is in the league. So you got to take a guy like that. It just comes in, looks like a Chris Bosh already in the whatever. It's Evan Mobley.
When he's putting posters up of Giannis, you have to, that's exciting. So that kind of plays into your excitement, but yeah, well, that's pretty much.
It would be, so I love Cade Cunningham. I think he's climbing the ladder super fast. I think he's gonna be a great player in this league. When you have a guy like Evan Mobley, who's probably going to be on an all defensive team in the NBA, well, I don't know if he makes first team, but he should be making second team. When you have a rookie that does that, it's really hard not to give that guy Rookie of the Year, because that is so difficult, especially when he's actually had a good offensive impact as well. Because rookies are bad at defense. That's how the NBA goes. And Evan Mobley is not. He's incredibly good at defense. So we'll see. I really like I like Evan Mobley. I want to see Cade Cunningham take him over again, because he was my preseason pick. But I do think Evan Mobley's lead, if the Cavs keep playing as well as they are right now, would be incredibly difficult to overcome. And that's all we got for Man to Man Worthy. Anybody got any honorable mentions real quick? Nothing?
Nothing
from the peanut gallery?
No.
Nothing's off the top of my head.
And it's candid.
And that is okay. We did some minutes.
I actually have one honorable mention. I woke up today just, you know, first of all, I really like watching ESPN or whatever I'm waking up to in the morning. But when it's First Take, I don't know if you guys saw the skit from SNL that they did First Take. It is so funny. If you haven't, go check it out. It's like 10 a.m. I want to watch First Take. I like Stephen A. Smith. I don't like getting yelled at 10 a.m. before coffee. But I did wake up this morning and see on NBA Live, I don't even know how I have this channel, or the NBA channel, this 2017 Atlanta Hawks versus the New York Knicks, where Tim Hardaway's on the Hawks, Courtney Lee's on the Hawks, Mike Dunleavy's on the Hawks, Carmelo's on the Knicks, Porzingis is on the Knicks. I have no idea why they were playing this game. I watched it for like 10 minutes. That shit is that's nostalgic as hell, dude. I love that kind of old school stuff. I don't know why they were playing the game. Anybody listening out there, if you know anything about the Hawks, Knicks in the regular season or some shit, because I know damn well those two teams didn't make the playoffs, let me know. Maybe it was Carmelo's last year or something with the Knicks. I can't remember. But yeah, shout out to I was just going to shout out Mike Dunleavy because I ain't seen that face in a minute. Yeah, shout out Mike, dude. Courtney Lee, Memphis boy back in the day.
Honorable, hey, that's a great honorable mention. I have no idea why they were showing that game, but shout out to NBA TV. Great channel. Love that.
They were bored, dude. They were real bored trying to figure out what content to post.
Bro, 24-hour programming is hard, man. I don't know. You got to go in deep into the archives, find that. But
yeah.
And we are going deep into this episode. We're running a little short on time, but we're going to finish up with the way we've been finishing up all of our episodes recently with some All-Star guesses. And now this episode of All-Star guesses is very, very special because we've already had a few All-Stars announced. For anybody that hasn't been hearing about it, the All-Star starters were announced, as we talked earlier. They are Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, DeMar DeRozan, Ja Morant, Trae Young, and Andrew Wiggins. So that's 10. For anybody at home keeping track, that means there are 7 substitutions that need to happen for both teams because they have 5 starters, 7 reserves. There will be a alternate for KD because he's already said he's not playing, but we don't take that into account here because we like nice even numbers at 24. So the other guesses we have had so far were, I guess Steph, KD, Giannis, LeBron, Jokic, Joel Embiid, DeMar DeRozan. I also guess Devin Booker and James Harden. Hoop so far has guessed Luka, Chris Paul, and LaMelo Ball. Andy guessed Ja, so he's already got one on the board, Jason Tatum and Zach LaVine. And then I guessed Trae Young, so I've already got one on the board, plus all the other lock starters, which don't really count, Fred Van Vliet. And then nobody guessed Andrew Wiggins yet, but he's in there. So we each have that in total right there is, if I'm doing my math right, 18 guesses. So we're missing 6 players. So we have 6 guesses to go, which means we will each guess 2 players. I'm going with Andy for his first guess, and we do this in just normal draft style. So Andy, who do you got for your last couple guesses here?
I think Julius Randle's got me an all-star.
I think you're a bum.
My God. The preparation for this, Andy had no idea what the fuck we were doing until like 2 minutes before.
I checked on the doc just a second ago to make sure I was in the right spot. I saw Drew. I was like, I know he's not about to say this, man.
Nah, I'm playing with you. That's my last one. That was just be funny. But he is balling. You know, he should get paid at least. Garland, Darius Garland for sure. Shout out Nashville boy, putting up. Man, tremendous numbers. JP, I got to take some of your words here in the book. Got to study them. Garland's crazy right now, man. Better than Trae Young. I'm eating sours. Somebody else go ahead. My fault, dude.
My guy is dead over there. I'll do Donovan Mitchell. I know he was hurt for a couple of weeks, but he's still out there balling. I think you can't just not leave him out off the list, so I'll go Donovan Mitchell as my, I guess, what, 5th pick?
I got to go Garland. That's it for me.
All right. We've gone Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to go Jimmy Butler. I know he's been off and on playing this year, but he's been the best player on a number one seeded Heat team, and that's usually good enough to get you into an all-star game. And he's Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's a great player in the league, so I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler is my second to last pick. And then that takes us back to the top. Andy, can you speak again? You ready to give your take here?
Gotta go Julius. And I'm for real this time. Nah, I'm kidding. Rudy Gobert, probably just a guy that is deserving to be an all-star every single year. He's one of the best defensive players of all time. Gotta go with Rudy Gobert. I have no idea what his numbers are this year.
Yeah. I guess my last one will be, I asked JP how to pronounce his first name because I was a little scared. I didn't want to butcher it too hard, but DeJounte, is that what we decided?
DeJounte, yeah.
DeJounte, how, just Jonte. That's what I'm gonna call you, Jonte. Mm-hmm. Not no D. Jonte Murray with the Spurs. The last couple of, I think the last like 10 games, he's averaged like 20, almost 23 points a game, like 9 or 10 assists and like 9 rebounds, like almost a triple double in the last like 10 games. So I think you can't, I mean, if I'm gonna have to pick some random, like an Andrew Wiggins, let's get DeJounte Murray in there instead of him. So I'll go that direction.
All right, DeJounte Murray. So that takes Rudy Gobert and DeJounte Murray off the board. And this is our final guess. And I'm going with a guy who has been probably borderline all-star when, you know, people put out their lists all the time. This has kind of been the last guy for most of the year, and it's Jared Allen. He's on the Cavs. He has been kind of the unsung hero for him because of Mobley's emergence, guys like Garland. But Jared Allen has been incredible this season, and it's the best he's seen in his career, and he's so good. He deserves this all-star. It may be the only time he ever gets it, so I want to see him in there. I love Jared Allen. I love his game. The dirty work guy who also happens to be balling this year. So for our 24th and final guess, we're going with Jared Allen. And that is all we have for the All-Star guesses. So we will go back and do the research once all the rosters are announced, which should be later this week. And we'll put out there who got some wrong, who got all theirs right, who guessed every starter, which was actually none of us. But we got close. But yeah, we'll put that out there for the people, and hopefully we can. I would be surprised if we didn't go 24 for 24 because we didn't guess Wiggins, but 23 for 24 would be pretty damn good as a group.
I got to get one on the board. None of my guys have been called yet. So
nah, me neither.
I think you got Ja. Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy. Yeah. You guys know.
Don't talk about man.
With that, guys, I think we're gonna talk about. We're going to hop out of here. Go follow us on social media. Thank you, JP. Thank you, Mr. Andy. If you guys don't have anything, I'm going to namaste these fools out of here. So namaste to you guys. Namaste.
Namaste, gentlemen.
Namaste. We'll see y'all next week, baby.